Blog Talk Radio.
Little something that talks about real love. Want to tell you a little story. The day of a loved one strong that now has faded away. All that was said at the altar, what did it really mean? Were they just caught up in the moment of a little boy and little girl dreaming? Yeah, it's kind of strange, people think that love is only what they feel. It's in the hard times that it's revealed.
Once again, once and again, welcome, welcome, yes. Welcome to Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis. Winston Lewis at your service.
And Sandra Lewis as well.
Welcome back, tag team partner, fighting back to back in this foxhole of faith.
Yes.
Here we are in the springtime.
Yes.
Back from the sabbatical.
Yes.
You see. And we are a living testimony of how love never fails. You see, despite the rain that may descend, the flood that may rise,
mm-hmm.
and the wind that may blow, you see, we found ourselves founded on this rock, who is Jesus.
That's it.
And we have found out as God is love,
mm-hmm.
love never fails.
That's right.
We thank our brother Stacy Harcum for that which is our theme. We have adopted it and have become a living testimony,
yes.
of it. You can find him at missionsinmusic.com.
Yes.
missionsinmusic.com and check him out. But with all these things said, it is great to be back.
Yes, it is.
In this cyberspace, representing this love that never fails. Not only the love that God has toward his people, but the love that I and my spouse have for each other. We are representatives, ambassadors even, of this truth, how love never fails, and that we are also representative of dying to be married.
Yes.
This is the crux of who we are. We're going to get more into that. But before we go further, if you all will join us in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we truly thank and praise you for another blessed opportunity to represent you and this blessed institution of marriage. Thank you for this blessed vehicle of being on these air rays, reaching out to some souls who are truly hungry and thirsty, who need some inspiration and motivation to continue what they vowed to keep. Lord, we're praying for every marriage, for surely they are under attack, surely they are being challenged, surely they are being taxed. But Lord, we pray and trust and believe that for everyone listening now as well as in the future, that they will be blessed and enthused,
yeah.
to continue on. And in all these things, as we represent you, we trust you to word our mouths and guide our footsteps. In all these things, we do ask and pray that your will be done. Praise go forth and glory be thine.
Yes.
Sister Lewis.
Yes.
Representative of love never
yes.
failing. What's on your heart this evening?
You know, I'm just blessed. I'm so grateful to be here today. You know, it's a blessing. As we were talking about it earlier today, God has brought us through some amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an amazing journey watching God do things in some of the darkest places that we've walked, and I believe I can speak for both of us, that in the midst of the darkness, how the hope that God will, that only comes from Him. You know, this is how we know that God is real. It's not that life for a believer is without trouble, but quite the contrary. When you're walking with the Lord, you know, our days are going to be full of trouble. You're going to go through times where it seems, as Psalm 23 talks about, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the shadow of despair, the shadow of threat in every place in your life sometimes. But yet, we walk through those valleys with this knowing that God is with us,
mm-hmm.
that we can go through these places because we know that the Lord is our shepherd. And so I have a hope today.
Mm-hmm.
And not only have a hope, but I have a hope that has been fulfilled. You know, when you obtain something, you don't have to have a hope for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thank God for is that what has been obtained was once a hope. And and so because of this obtained hope,
uh-huh.
I have hope other things.
Right.
That if He did this, surely He will do that. So I have a lot of things on my heart right
mm-hmm.
now.
Surely.
But I'm just grateful today. I'm grateful today because I know that the God that I serve is the true and the living God, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't have to guess about it. I don't have to wonder about it. I know that He is. I know that He loves me. I know that I have a Heavenly Father that is concerned about the things that concern me.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God that I have the blessedness of a wonderful and loving husband.
Yay.
I have the knowing that I have a blessed family. I have children that, you know, the Lord has blessed, and that we are seeing the fruit of what has been good, what has been God in our lives, you know. And so there's a lot of things that I can go on about, but I'm just excited about what's happening, what He's doing in our lives, and I'm just grateful today.
Mm-hmm. You know, surely so much to be grateful for. A lot of times, you know, the great deception and the root of much of our turmoil is just to deter us from such gratefulness, to deter us from embracing the good, counting our blessings. It reminds me of our last the broadcast before our anniversary broadcast. We took
mm-hmm.
a break from sabbatical to come on to celebrate our 24th wedding anniversary, as it is apropos of this call, because this is a call for us. This is not just a hobby or something we do. We have been called to do just what we're doing with Dying to Be Married. As you all may have noticed, we were 5 broadcasts strong and were growing and expanding before we took this respite But this is our flagship broadcast. It is the one that I'll say we went globally with through this venue, among others. And it is the one that is our ministry is founded on, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what the Lord has led us to know and do and represent. And thereby, in all of our searching and retooling and restructuring of our ministry, and we took a good, long, strong look at how we were to proceed from here. And this is getting back to the basics, getting back to what we know he called us to do and to be and to represent. And it starts with us.
Mm-hmm.
And why it starts with us.
Right.
It is because how he started. In the passages of Scripture, which speaks about the Lord being espoused to his nation Israel and the significance of God and his relationship to the nation Israel, his chosen people, he equated it to an espousal. And in Jeremiah 2:1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." Speaking of how he sees his chosen people. In the Old Testament, in the beginning of God's relationship to man, as we know it, he espoused himself. He treated Israel as a bride. And so it is, Christ speaks of Christ and the church as he is the husbandman, being Christ, and the church being his bride.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby, bringing it to us today in this ministry that is Kingdom United Ministries Network, it is founded on our marriage to this extent. We represent this blessed and holy matrimony that God established between man and his wife, you see, man and woman. And we represent what is holy about it. And granted, realizing this, representing this, we knew we were, it was going to be challenged.
Yep.
And it has been a challenge.
Yep.
Challenge. And it reminds us of the broadcast we had previous to our anniversary broadcast, which was the last one we officially
right.
did.
Yeah.
That was The War Is Real.
Yeah.
Because it was somewhat of a precursor and a forecast of what we were going to find ourselves going through. Just a quick review of that to kind of let you know what we were up against for the past, 8 months?
Yeah, I think.
James 4:1 was this passage of Scripture. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? We had our synopsis, introductory passage, which read, Sister Lewis, did you happen to have that?
That was Jeremiah?
No, let me just read it. It was our preview passage to the broadcast, and you know, I don't mean to put that on you as at the moment. I do have it pulled up.
Okay.
And it read, "In a time where, quote-unquote, holy matrimony between a man and a woman has to be defended, the very possibility of losing a job or being jailed if you don't support gay marriage or alternative lifestyles is on the rise. The question then is, quote, what or who is behind the tides being shifted, unquote? Is there an underlying agenda at work? And if so, who is doing it and how can we fight back?" And then we had the invitation to join us for that broadcast as we engage in effective warfare strategies that position us for battle. And we had the forecast that we were on the verge of a war for holy matrimony, you see, because it is representative of God's relationship to his chosen people. That let us know the subsequent things that followed, the things that we dealt with in our own marriage, made us to know how real this was. We had to back up from our broadcast and take a close spiritual look at what we were doing. We went through some very tumultuous times, some challenging times, times that shook our very souls.
Yep.
Not just us, but in our family, in our household. It made us to realize this battle is real. Just saying this before I pass it to you, Sister Lewis, what we've come to learn in our marriage and ministry, they are one and the same, is that we have an Ezekiel-type anointing, in that we have an anointing of empathy. You know, just a quick synopsis of what we mean by that. Ezekiel was the type of prophet whose life was lived out before the people. His lifestyle spoke more than the words he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
One, in the loss of his wife. God told him, I'm going to take your wife from you, and I do not want you to mourn. He had to live that before the people. It was preaching a message to the people of Israel at the time. Also, there was a time where God had Ezekiel to be tied up on one side for, I believe it was approximately a year, and he could only eat bread that was prepared with cow dung,
mm-hmm.
you see. Some say it was cow dung was the fuel. Some say the bread was actually laced with cow dung. However it is, he had to eat this and only this for a year while tied up on one side. And then he flipped on the other side for something like 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm paraphrasing this passage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was representative of God's relationship to his people Israel, what they were going to be going to through in future days,
mm-hmm.
in days to come. And he did this in public for all of the nation to see.
Yeah.
Okay. You can imagine word of mouth over a year and a half of this man, this prophet, this known prophet of Israel, doing this, and that it would be representative of what they would be going through. You see, it was a forecast. Hence, many times how people view prophecy, many people view prophecy as a forecast of things to come.
Right.
It's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, it's something that God is saying through this person to his people, whoever has ears to hear. So it is, and so it has been in this ministry of Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis, representative of marriage, but representative of what people are going through, you see. As mouthpieces, we speak to know that marriages are under attack. Marriages are under attack. They are being mimicked. There's an example of marriages out here that's counter to what God has established. There is an attack on marriages. There was an attack on ours. And we saw that it affected our whole family, you see. And I tell you, we realize that there are others who are out here. And if you know someone, if it's not you, if you know someone whose marriage is going through, we are representative of those who mean to inspire and motivate you, that you too can make it. We are here to represent, and this is why we say this, that love never fails if you seek in love. What do you think about that, Sister Lewis?
You know what? It was, it's something that I know I've said this before, is that if you ever want to know what your purpose in life is, or what anointing God has on your life is going to be determined by what you go through. The level in which you are attacked is an indication of how high God wants to take you. And I've heard many who are in ministry, who we consider generals and in the gospel, that they never knew where they were until they looked at the level of attack they were under. It was always a forecast of where God was taking them. And I know when I've heard that in the past, it always caused me to be careful what I ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Because to whom much is given, much is required. And I really believe that a lot of times in the body of Christ, we have to be so careful when we see people that we think, that we even look up to and admire, that we be very careful not to covet where they are, or even this, you know, I wish that I would have a ministry like this one. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's not even conscious,
mm-hmm.
you know, but being very careful, you know, not to do that because you don't know what it has cost them.
That's right.
To be where they are. And we live in a society where it's so easy to see the glory on someone's life and not know their story. We want the crown, but we don't want to go through the pain. And so there is so much to when God has an anointing on your life, and it's a very fine line between walking in the calling that God has on your life and being, I'm trying to be very careful how I say this, because I know that there are people who are right there now, and I do not want to evoke any fear, but yet understand that there is something that is so rewarding and fulfilling
mm-hmm.
when you know that you're walking in the purpose and the calling of God on your life. That it's nothing to be fearful of,
mm-hmm.
but it's something to embrace.
Right.
That whatever God has for your life, it's gonna come with a cost. See, salvation for us is free.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus paid the price for that.
Mm-hmm.
But anointing costs us. And if you ever see someone flowing in the anointing that God has on their life, and you see that, you see them walking in this powerful anointing, it has cost them something.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very careful to seek God concerning what he has for us. And not be afraid of what the cost is.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you know that God is with you, you can go through anything.
Absolutely.
You can walk through anything. And, you know, I can't talk around it. Where we have been and what we have walked through has been a very dark place. Very dark.
Yes.
We found ourselves in places that we never thought we would be. about, have you ever been through a time where you got up in the middle of the night and it's dark and you can't find your way, and if you're half asleep, you're stumbling, you're hitting stuff, and you find yourself groping for a light switch or something familiar to kind of find your way? That's how we have been. I know for myself, I have been, it has felt like that. And when you're in an unfamiliar place, it's even worse. Because if you've ever visited someplace and got up in the middle of the night and had that same, you know, where you're half asleep, half awake, it's even harder to find your way. And this is where we were. This is where we've been. Places that we never thought we would be. There is a passage in Isaiah 42, and in particular, verse 16. And it is in relation to what you were just saying about that Ezekiel anointing. But he says, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. I will guide them in paths they do not know. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These things I will do for them, and I will not leave them abandoned or undone.
Mm-hmm.
As dark as it was, and as blind as we felt, there was always that sense that we were not abandoned, that we were not alone.
Right. You know, we're going to take a break, but before we do, we want to introduce this subject, Sprung. We're going to talk about where that came from. Sister Lewis, you set it up with the preview verse in the 42nd chapter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the forecast.
Yeah.
God let them know.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be dark. But there is a remedy.
Yes.
But before we get there, before we go to this break, we want to introduce you to this subject matter. Sprung.
Yes. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth.
Mm-hmm.
Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's Isaiah 43:19.
Mm-hmm.
Every marriage experiences some dry seasons, times of discouragement, misunderstanding, feelings of loneliness. Yes, even like losing your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Some have given up at these times, forgetting that just as winter turns into spring, seasons do change. Feelings of betrayal can often set in, or a breach of trust runs deep, making it difficult for some marriages to survive. But what do? When you know what should be done, but you just can't seem to get beyond the pain? How do you forgive when bitterness has set in? And what if loving them has become a whole lot easier than liking them? Can this kind of marriage be saved? This is what we're going to be talking about.
Right.
After the break. So go ahead and invite someone else to join in, and we will be right back.
Never end, and like the river.
believe in you and me.
You see, you got to dig deep sometimes, you know. And I thank God for, first of all, the opportunity to come to you all and share our testimony. And I know some of you all are very spiritual, and I don't know who may stumble over such a beautiful song, but if you do, we're praying for you. Forgive us if you hold it against us. But this speaks to where we are. As much as, you know, we all know the statistic how the divorce rate in the church rivals that with the world, you know, hovering around 50% or so, half marriages work and half of them don't. And I'm sure that number is creeping up. And most of those people all, I'm talking about believers, Christians, will say they believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And they love God. Somebody say they love God. Somebody made a
you
song.
You love God.
I love God.
Mm-hmm. You love God.
Love God seems like it's deeper than love God. Love, I love God. All right.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
That's right.
I hear you, Sister Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Erica Campbell for all you all wondering, for Mary and Mary. Their names aren't really Mary, but it's a good name. You know, loving God.
Mm-hmm.
We all will say that quickly. Every believer will say that quickly. Everyone will embrace the great God Almighty, the God that is love,
mm-hmm.
the Jesus who died for them even. They embrace that cross. They will wear a cross, you know, with the figure on it or not, crucifix or the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we embrace it.
Yep.
But God also wants to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yep.
He also wants us to love our spouse because
mm-hmm.
it's representative of him.
You know, while you're right there, I remember during this whole several months that we were going through this, in the darkness, when you know that God is there, you know, he never abandons us. He never leaves us, just like I read in that. And that was apparent even when he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. And I remember times where, and even as recent, there was a time where I was throwing myself into other things. There were so many things. I mean, in every area of my life, it seemed like there was a battle. It was a battle going on. And so for myself, and I'm just telling off on myself because this, I believe, will help somebody who's there now. But as a woman, we wear so many hats. You're a wife. You're a mother. If you're working, you have a job. If you're in ministry, you have that. It's just everything. You have so many things, and so we tend to want to give more of ourselves in the places that we feel we're going to get the most return.
Mm-hmm.
And because part of it for me, one of my languages, I can say one of my love languages is validation, being recognized, being appreciated, you know, when you get that that validation. And so when it came down to whether or not I was going to give more to you as my husband, and I didn't feel like I was getting what I needed back, I was like, I felt like, well, I'm just going to give myself into the other areas, into my kids, into my job, into these other things where the reward was more instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit reminded me, you asked me to use you. You said you wanted me to use you in ministry. Your ministry, your number one ministry is to your husband. Because it is there that you glorify me in your marriage.
Right.
I told you that if you seek first
mm-hmm.
the kingdom of God and my righteousness, that everything else will be added to you.
Right.
You can't go in as a bastard child. You can't come in the back door and think that everything else is going to work out. No, you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things. And then everything else is going to be added to you. He's already let us know how to respond to those who are not doing good to you. If he tells you to bless your enemies, if he tells you to do good to those who are saying all manners of evil against you and hurting you and all these, how much more your spouse?
You see. And that, that is why I wanted to finish this thought about why that song was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says that very thing. We believe God.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to believe in God and each other.
Mm-hmm.
And thereby, I believe in you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in God in you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in God in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you're saying, when we have all those hats and we serve in so many other capacities, we tend to lose sight
mm-hmm.
of the spouse that we're in the foxhole with.
Mm-hmm.
And the discrepancies come when we forget that as much as I love God, they love God.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'm calling on God,
mm-hmm.
you're calling on God.
Right.
And we have to remember to declare that we believe in each other.
Yeah.
You see, this is where that springing forth comes.
Because mm-hmm.
in the same capacity as is our golden text for dying to be married in Ephesians 5:25,
mm-hmm.
we have to love our wives as husbands as Christ loved the church. As Christ is representative of the husband, it makes us to know that the church is representative of the wife. It is that is a powerful, deep, but simple example. And it reminds us how Christ died for his bride.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, that's where the springing forth came. The light bulb moment, the aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I had to look at my wife, and I had to see that despite whatever I considered a flaw of any type or whatever was lacking, I had to remember how the Lord cherishes his bride. Not cherished in the past,
mm-hmm.
but it's a continual cherishing. That's the power of realizing that he lives.
Right.
Okay. This is not a history lesson so much as it is right now. This is a living God and a living Savior we serve. That's the thing we represent as Christians, and that's where our power lies in realizing he's alive and active. His word is alive and active.
Mm-hmm.
And this dying to be married, it's a continual process.
Exactly.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, when we have differences, when there is a breach in our unity, when we're missing each other, when we're growing apart, it's because we missed that passage of dying to ourselves. And I tell you, a way back, because we're all about solutions. We're all about the practicality of this. It's just not good enough to sound good.
Right.
And feel good.
Exactly.
And hoop and holler.
Yep.
As much as it is to get up from here and apply this to our lives, that we'll learn, grow, and change for the better.
That's right.
And the good news is, as much as we were realizing this all along, it's just hard to embrace all the time.
Exactly.
It's like the prickly truth. Huh?
Yeah.
Sometimes the truth is prickly and it's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your baby and you better get a hold of her.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But that thing where, you know, I'm going to get the glory out of this.
Yep.
If you just believe it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just embrace it.
Yep.
You see, and when we really get a hold of what God is saying to us about ourselves and each other,
mm-hmm.
it's more simple than, you know, you could ever believe.
Right.
It's more simple just to say, honey, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Past all the hurt, pain, guilt, and shame.
Yep.
Honey, I love you. You know why? You know how I got that revelation? Because God says that to me. Mm-hmm. When I realized how God looked past my faults and saw my need, it made me look at my wife and say, look at what she needs. She needs to hear me say, to validate. I know her love language. I know it, you know, and she needs that from me. She needs to hear me say, I love you. She needs to see me say, I love you. She needs to know that that's there. She needs to feel secure, you see, where she felt insecure. She needs to know it and she needs to see it. And, you know, we feel that same way. As believers, you know it. Mm-hmm. Men, you know it.
Right.
I need to know God is with me. I need to know he hears me. This is that thing I know as a man. I learned the truth of who God is, and this is that thing that no one can take from me. Because I saw him come to me in my darkest hour, in my direst need, and he had a personal rescue for me. He had a lifesaver with my name on it. You know how they throw you a lifesaver from the ship that they throw it from?
Mm-hmm.
Say, the SS Minnow. That's just the one that pops in my head. You got to forgive me. I came up watching TV. I know that was Gilligan and them ship, wasn't it? But, you know, the ship is said the SS Minnow
mm-hmm.
or whatever ship they
right.
throw in the Lord have mercy if they threw one from the Titanic. But, you know, it said the ship's name on it. But he
yeah.
has your name on that life preserver.
That's right. That's right.
You see, your name is on that life preserver.
Mm-hmm.
It tailor-mates you. It fits right around you. No matter how heavy the storm is tossing you to and fro, he threw that life preserver to you
mm-hmm.
with your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows just what it takes for you to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He knows just what it takes to draw you in your marriage.
Yeah.
He knows just what it takes to bring you all back to him and each other.
Yep. And notice how he does it, because he'll do it through you. The very thing that you don't want to do, he will tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about God, that we're in a partnership with him,
mm-hmm.
is that he's not going to do what we can do.
Right.
He's only going to do what we cannot do. We cannot change one another's heart. Only
right.
he can do that.
Absolutely.
But the way he changes the thing that we can't do is by obeying the things he tells us to do. When he tells us not to be overtaken by evil, but to overcome evil with good,
mm-hmm.
he will give us an instruction. Every time I would go to him about you, he would give me something to do to bless you. I'm just talking about how he deals with me.
Right.
The times where I felt the most hurt, the time that I felt the most misunderstood, the time that I felt the most unappreciated, and I would take him, God, don't you know how this makes me feel? Don't you know how this is affecting me? Why are you letting this happen? And then he would give me an instruction. Well, you do this. You do this. And sometimes, as much as we don't always talk about these things, is that it is really possible for you to be deeply in love with somebody and not like them.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I don't hear a lot of that. I don't hear a lot of that being taught.
Right.
Is that in many marriages, it's not that you don't love each other.
Right.
How many times have you gotten, you've heard people who were divorced say, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not love. Captain and Tennille didn't have it right. Love won't keep you together. There was a song they had, love will keep us together.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. There's a lot of people who, after they've gotten divorced, it wasn't that they didn't love each other.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like each other.
Right.
Now, love, real love,
mm-hmm.
never fails.
Right.
And God is love.
Mm-hmm.
But God is not going to go beyond your will. And so if you are at a place where, you know what, God, I'm just not willing to do it your way anymore. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't love them. But I'm just...
I don't like this.
I don't like this anymore, and I don't like them anymore.
And see, really, that's indicative of this whole social media craze
mm-hmm.
that we all partake in.
Mm-hmm.
The like button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've changed the button to say different things now. You can unlike things.
Mm-hmm.
You can be mad at things. You can show love for things
mm-hmm.
beyond a like, you know,
yep.
by a symbol. And we mistakenly treat each other like that.
Exactly.
You know,
the
two old ladies on the commercial.
That's not how this works.
It's not how any of this works. And we miss that point when we relate to each other from a social media viewpoint.
Right.
As much as we are even coming through this cyberspace as it is, and this is going to be broadcasted on different levels and different areas and beyond this venue here.
Mm-hmm.
That's our plan because the message needs to be heard and we need
right.
to get it out there. But people fail to do, a lot of people. I heard someone who recently got out of prison say, the thing that really changed in society is how everybody is on their phone and
mm-hmm.
not talking to each other.
Right.
He said the capper was when I saw two people texting each other in the same room, in the same house,
mm-hmm.
you see. And so it is.
Yeah.
It's become ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we are not careful, we can use a tool that can be good
mm-hmm.
for evil.
Yeah.
And that's everything we do. It's
mm-hmm.
time to get back to talking to each other
exactly.
instead of at each other.
Exactly.
It's time to have an intimate conversation. You brought up this thing about coming to each other, even when you're mad. I think that was in our conversation on air, another time when parents, they just want you to relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not where you want to be, because I know in particular boys, men, males are like this with their
mm-hmm.
mothers and parents. They don't want to be around their parents when they don't have it together.
Mm-hmm.
That is also pervasive in marriages.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men don't stick around because they don't have it together. They don't want to be seen as weak.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be seen as inadequate or not enough to their spouse or especially to their children. This is the root of why a lot of men leave,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to be seen as not being able to toe the line. They don't want to be seen as not capable of being the head of the house. And a lot of men leave instead of facing that fact. I love that commercial that speaks of you don't have to be a perfect parent to be a
right,
parent.
Right.
You see. And that's the same way of being a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to come to him with everything.
Right.
It lets us know the same thing about our marriage. We need to go to our spouse with it all. We need to learn how to communicate. We need to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Jesus told a parable about how the kingdom is like a widow who has lost a coin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paraphrasing this without going to the passage of scripture, but I believe it's found in the okay, I won't do that. But I'll tell you about
mm-hmm.
this parable, and you can look it up. Of the kingdom of heaven is like a widow who has lost a coin, and she swept her whole house to find it. You see? So it is, the kingdom is just made up of people. It's us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You see? And as much as we need to yearn and hunger and thirst after this righteousness that we seek in him, I'm here to tell you, it's the same in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight for it. You have to go out of your way for it. You got to do what it takes for it. If your spouse has a certain love language, find out what it is and become fluent in it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Find out. That's what breaks the doors open. Where we got this title sprung from, just like the scripture said in Isaiah 43:9-19, it shall spring forth You see, it's as the spring breaks from the winter, as the spring emerges and the thaw occurs, so it is as our relationships experience a new level. A new sun shines on our relationship, new levels. You should ever be learning in your relationship. You know, sometimes we take for granted the spouse that we've seen day in and day out, and we take for granted that there are new things to learn. There are new things to like. There are new things to love. There's a deeper level to fall into in love, you see. And as this scripture says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Well, we are representative of being sprung. You know, there is a street colloquialism of sprung. It means that you're in love. It means that you're stuck on somebody. It means that you're deep in love, that you that somebody has you, as they say, with your nose open.
Right.
You
right.
see?
Yeah.
It's just like what God said about his nation Israel in the book of Jeremiah. You see, how when they were in the wilderness, in the Jeremiah 2:2, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown, I remember thee and the kindness of thy youth, speaks of. When they were in love with God and they did what he said, they followed him even in the wild. You see, if you all know anything about us, you know we came through a wilderness period. You know, that's when I really saw this woman and what she was all about. You see, because she was with me through the thinnest of times, where we even found ourselves homeless. She was right there in the thinnest of times, where we had toddlers. You see, in the thinnest of times, we not only saw God bring us through, we saw something about each other.
Yes.
And that's why, yes, we chose that song, I Believe in You and Me. You see, and the miracle of what that is, when nothing else could keep us together, true love, agape love, said, I got y'all.
Right.
Now, know that you got to have each other.
Mm-hmm.
One of the powerful things about coming through the thinnest of times is we learn to see God in each other.
Right.
And that's even brought us to this point of being sprung.
Yeah, that's right.
Sprung. We declare it.
That's it.
Shamelessly,
yeah,
we declare we are sprung on each other. Am I right, tag team partner?
Amen. Amen.
You too. You too can be sprung on your mate. However long it's been, however hard it's been, if it's not over yet, know this, cling to being sprung again.
Yeah. You know, already we're at the end of a broadcast. Oh, boy. We are back. We are back. But as we have done in the past, we will continue to do. We never want to leave a broadcast without giving you the opportunity. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, we give you the opportunity to just repeat after me and just pray this short prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, that you gave him as a sacrifice for me and a redeemer for me. And I just believe it right now, and I receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Father, I pray that you will bless this person, whoever is praying this prayer, that they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are yours and that they are free. They have a new life in Christ right now, and that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and that they are your child. Father, I pray right now for all those who are going through in their marriages, Lord, that you will speak to each one of their hearts. Lord, touch them, talk to them, speak to them in Jesus' name. And Lord, let them know that you are with them and that they can do all things through Christ, which strengthens them. We thank you. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We thank you again for joining us for another episode of Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis. And we do see you, caller, whose last number is 6386. We thank you for calling. We just don't have the time to bring you on, but we do want to acknowledge
you. Not what I think, and love is only what I feel. It's in the hard times that it's revealed that love is an act of my will. Don't you know that?
Never get old, no, no.